flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Rangers P's and C's have reported to Surprise, Arizona. Jared Sandler getting ready to hop on a plane and head that way as well. The KNC masterpiece of the G-Bag Nation will be meeting him out there in under 10 days now. So it's a very exciting time with the Rangers season about to get rolling. And Jared Sandler joins us now here on the D&M Leasing Hotline on a Friday morning with Sean and RJ. Sean and RJ back next week. I'm Eric Schiaffalo. Jared, good morning. How are you, brother?
I'm good, man. So would you be more Sean or RJ, you think?
RJ, probably.
He's Italian.
Yeah.
And, yeah, he's not, like, sending Peyton 20 audio cuts to pull. So, probably more RJ.
I'm playing, like, seven.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Not throwing pens at people and whatnot, you know?
Does that mean I'm more Sean, Jared?
No, because you're just Bobby.
Yeah, that's fair.
I don't think anyone, that's not, there's no sense in trying to make any kind of comparison.
There's no comp for
Bob. You might be more like Orlovsky. But
hey.
Otherwise, you're.
Wow.
Oh, I don't
like that.
That's the most offensive thing you could say to him.
That's a low blow.
Yeah, I don't like that. Hey, do you want to hear my, before we get started, do you want to hear, we did DFW Sports Valentine's cards.
Okay.
Do you want to hear my one that I did for the Rangers?
Sure.
Okay. If you were a first pitch, I'd be Corey Seager because I want to hit it.
That was pretty good.
It's good, right? Thank you.
I like that. Yeah.
I have a better one I can read.
Oh, yeah. Read one of those.
These are all written by Bobby, by the way. If you're Rob Pelinka, I'm Nico Harrison because I want you to bleep me in a Dallas coffee shop.
I like it. It's good.
Jared, my Patrick Dumont because I'd like to marry a virgin.
Oh, jeez.
Jared, when do you get on the airplane?
Why'd you throw that one at him and throw him completely off?
Yeah. The flight's in a couple hours.
Storyline number one that you're tracking. Everybody wants to know about the closer and things like that, but what are your baseball eyeballs going to be zeroing in on?
Sorry. I need like a reset.
Those were so good, weren't they?
The one of the biggest things for me, and yeah, you mentioned the closer, so we'll push that aside. And this is not something that we're going to be able to like notice in a day or in a couple days. And I'm not sure that we'll get a definitive answer from the Rangers, but I'm just curious what their plan is with Kumar Rocker. And to a lesser degree, I'm curious what their plan is with Jacob deGrom. The reason I'm less concerned about that, I'm sure they don't want Jacob deGrom to throw 200 innings, but as long as Jacob deGrom stays healthy, I'm sure they'll be able to figure out, you know, a way to navigate, you know, whatever would be best for him physically. And if that's 150, 160 innings, then, you know, I'm not worried that, you know, that's going to create any sort of, road bumps or hurdles along the way. Maybe they skip a start here or there. If there's a stretch of, 17 games in 17 days, maybe, they add a sixth starter in during that stretch, to give him an extra day. I mean, there are lots of things you could do. I guess I'm just not sure what their plan is with Kumar Rocker. Maybe their plan is, hey, Kumar, go throw 150 innings. And if that's the case, then similarly to DeGrom, you know, you get 25 to 30 starts out of him, and, you know, it really isn't anything abnormal. But what if, you know, they don't want to go above 120 innings? Will he start the season in the rotation? Will he end the season in the rotation? Will he maybe have a stint in the bullpen to limit innings? What are they going to do with him? How are they going to handle him? And, you know, with innings for pitchers and health and pitchers and all this stuff, their ideas of what makes sense, but there's not a right answer. No one really knows. And that's what makes this conversation equal parts fascinating, equal parts frustrating. If the Rangers were not planning on contending, if this was 2021, this isn't that interesting of a conversation, right? They're probably not going to push Kumar Rocker to an unnecessary degree. Maybe, you know, he gets about 100, 120 innings and you take a step forward and then you go from there. But the Rangers are a legitimate contending team. And so they got to balance the development piece with the competitive piece. And sometimes that leads to some interesting conversations.
Jared Sandler joining us here on Sean and RJ on 105 The Fan. Jared, talking about DeGrom there, one of the things I remember we were kind of kicking around at the end of the season last year on the show was, you know, DeGrom was getting hit pretty hard when he came back. Was that just natural expectation of like, hey, he'd been off for a little while, he's not going to be perfect the same sort of way? Or was there anything concerning about the way he was pitching at the end of last year that you go like, okay, maybe he did lose something here over the course of these, you know, 12 to 15 months coming back?
No, yeah. I mean, Bobby, it's possible that on April 15th, you know, he's had a few starts and we're looking like, man, you know, it does look different than prior to, you know, his second Tommy John. But I'm not concerned at all right now. I mean, I look at that as like a oddly placed spring training for Jacob DeGrom with, you know, the off season right around the corner. I mean, I think it was just about getting out there, getting comfortable again. And I'm not saying this to be a smart aleck, but, you know, I'd much rather, you know, Jacob DeGrom have been in the position he was in than Tyler Mahle coming back from Tommy John, right? And Tyler Mahle appears to be healthy, ready to go. But, you know, I think with DeGrom, just the fact that he came out of those starts healthy was huge, whereas Tyler Mahle, you know, had a couple of trips to the mound and then, you know, they had to shut him down. And, you know, I think guys come back from Tommy John and respond from Tommy John, you know, differently. And I think just, again, getting DeGrom back on the mound, letting him get those reps, coming out healthy, having a healthy off season, I think are all really important things. And yeah, I mean, it's his second Tommy John, and there's not, you know, it's not like guys after their second Tommy John necessarily are, you know, there's a long track record of success stories. I mean, Nathan Eovaldi is maybe the strongest case in Major League Baseball for that. But DeGrom is, you know, he is unique, right? The things he does and can do are just beyond comprehension at times. And I think that there's a lot of optimism that we're going to see that version of Jacob DeGrom this year.
Talking with Jared Sandler here before he heads off to Surprise Arizona and soaks in a bunch of Ranger spring training action. What are your big questions about the lineup right now?
Well, I guess I'm curious what Bruce Bochy is going to do at the top. You know, my guess is Marcus Semien is this team's leadoff hitter when the season starts. But if Marcus does not look more like 2023 Marcus, then, you know, I'd be curious if they reshuffle things. And, you know, I think Marcus is a very routine-oriented guy. And I'm sure, you know, first of all, he wants to be the leadoff hitter. He takes pride in that. But my guess is, you know, if he's not the leadoff hitter, he just kind of wants to have a spot and know what his spot is. And the reason I bring that up is, you know, Marcus last year in a down year against lefties still had, you know, good enough numbers where you're like, yeah, this guy can be the leadoff hitter. But it was against righties, you know, in which he really struggled. And I don't know if Marcus is the type of guy who wants to lead off against lefties but then hit somewhere else against righties. So I think he likes to have some consistency in that regard, but I guess we'll find out. But that to me is a big question. I mean, just starting right there, because I do have questions about where Evan Carter will hit or Wyatt Langford and what Bruce Bochy will do with those guys, but it all starts with the leadoff spot. And, you know, I think that, again, if Marcus does not get off to, it doesn't need to be like a, you know, a player of the month type start, but if he just doesn't get off to a good start, I think that you're going to have some conversations early on and some chatter about, hey, what should we do at the leadoff spot? Because last year's version of Marcus Semien was not the type of guy who, you know, you want leading off or need leading off in front of someone like Corey Seager. I think what's going to be exciting is what's after Corey. Josh Smith was really good last year. I mean, he was a silver slugger as a utility player, but he wasn't a guy that struck a lot of fear in opposing pitchers. He wasn't the type of guy who was going to really make you pay in a big way by pitching around Corey Seager. And so teams did pitch around Corey Seager. I think the Rangers are going to be way better equipped to at least make teams think how they want to handle those matchups. Corey Seager is one of the best hitters on the planet. You're not going to just say, well, Wyatt Langford or Jock Peterson or whomever is sitting behind him, let's just serve him up a fastball first pitch. But, you know, I think the Rangers are going to be better positioned to make teams pay for pitching around Corey Seager. And I think that's going to be I think that was a point of emphasis this offseason.
Jared, I think Donnie Ecker and the Rangers talked a little bit about some tweaks they did to Wyatt Langford during the season in terms of like weight distribution and other things that basically were like bad cat habits that don't necessarily burn you as often in college and the minors that when you get up to the majors, they can be a problem. Like Fangraphs had this article up about this last fall. Do you think that those tweaks are the reason why we saw the guy that we did at the end of September and that hitter that we saw to end the season? It's like, yeah, that's more likely to be what you're going to get out of Wyatt Langford in 2025.
Yeah, it's a combination, Bobby. I think that absolutely played a role. But when Donnie, and I don't remember when the tweaks were first reported, but when the tweaks were first made, it didn't yield immediate results. And that's in part because Wyatt had to get comfortable with that swing and get comfortable with his body and develop a little bit of consistency. But I think you know, that was a part of it. I just think understanding, I mean, Wyatt talked a lot about understanding how pitchers were pitching him as the year went on and making adjustments. And, I don't remember at what point in the season it became a little bit of a story, but he was getting hosed on a lot of calls too. I think Wyatt and Mookie Betts by far and away at one point in the year had the most strikes called against him on pitches that were outside of the zone. And I think Wyatt had the most strike three calls on pitches that were outside of the zone. But I just think what we saw was your standard, I shouldn't say standard. There's not a lot standard about him, but what you'd expect from a young player who had barely even touched the minor leagues with some of the ups and downs. Remember, he had a really rough April and then got hurt in May that gave him an opportunity to reset. Player of the month in June. July and August weren't necessarily dazzling. And then, rookie of the month in June. And then player of the month in September. And, you know, the cool thing, you know, from my perspective, Bobby, talking to opposing players, and one conversation in particular with Jose Trevino, when Wyatt played the Yankees before he had the walk-off grand slam, the day prior to that game, Jose's like, I don't care what this guy's numbers are. This guy is going to be a stud. Like you can just, you can tell with the strength, the athleticism, the way, his approach in the plate. And he was like, you know, it's not even about what I've seen these couple games. It's like just watching film on him. And that's really cool. When you get compliments like that from players around the league, they know, they see things, they see players and hitters every single day. There are a lot of people who are running to just compliment Wyatt Langford, even if his batting average is like .220, they're like, no, this guy is going to be a stud.
It's Jared Sandler with us here on The Fan, getting ready to head off to Surprise, Arizona for Rangers spring training. Jared, I have pieced together a couple of potential concession menu items to tie in Ranger players to some concessions. So I'd like to tee some up for you, and you tell me if you think these would belong at Globe Life Field for Rangers fans to consume.
Yeah, have you sent these over to our pal Casey Rath?
I'm going to. Okay. I'm going to workshop them in the clubhouse with the players, make sure they feel good about them. And then hopefully our guy Casey will take this and run. We'll start with the Semien Toast Crunch.
Ooh, I love that. That's great.
Okay.
Or anything cinnamon, really. You could do Semien rolls, whatever.
Absolutely. I have a corny Seager, which is just a nice, good old-fashioned corn dog.
Okay. I think I like Semien Toast Crunch better.
Loaded DeGromlet.
Oh, I feel like you're really catering to the 1 o'clock game for people who might want some breakfast, or maybe the breakfast for dinner crowd.
Isn't Texas? Yeah. I feel like Texas is a breakfast for dinner state. Like, I feel like that's pretty common in the South.
I think that human beings should be open to breakfast at any time of the day.
True.
Personally.
Kyle Higashiokra.
All right, that's going to be more niche. the Southern crowd's going to like that. You know, I think, isn't okra like a big Southern dish that's big in SEC country?
Yes, 100% it is. We have a Kamarshmallow pie.
I like that.
We have Josh Spores Head cold cut sandwiches.
That's interesting. Maybe a little more of a stretch. But I appreciate the effort on that one. I think, let's see. My stomach literally just growled. I don't know if you guys could hear it, but it's making me hungry.
What about a smash burger? A Jake smash burger?
Oh, okay. That's good. But you know what? I feel like you've got to be... That one's just put on a T. Like, that's a tough one to get, like, wow. Like, the Simian Toast Crunch, that's great.
Chocolate chip cookies.
What's that?
Chocolate chip cookies.
Chocolate chip. Okay, I like that. You know what you should do? You should find a way to make a Jake burger menu item that actually, like, has nothing to do with a burger, and that's going to get people like, oh, my gosh. Like, I didn't even think of that, right? Because they're so – you got to zig when they think you're going to zag on that one, I feel like.
No, that's a great point. Yeah. We have Adobo Garcia. We also have Rocker Road Ice Cream. Throw that in the Bluebell line. Let's party.
We like the Kamar items.
Maybe too. some Dane dumplings. Texter wrote that in earlier.
Okay. So can I tell you something? I was thinking about those with Higashioka, because Higashioka is in his family comes from Japan, Japanese heritage. Dane Dunning is family from Korea. I don't know if dumplings are big in Korea, but I appreciate the tie into like an Asian cuisine there, given his heritage.
Amen. Okay, it sounds like we're off to a good start here. We're going to get this to the powers that be at Globe Life Field, see if we can get these menu items.
I want to say that you should capitalize on Dallas anger, though, right now, and just create like a 5,000-calorie nacho plate and just call it the Luca.
I thought you were going to say like have like some item that you can – just smash and like break like in one of those anger rooms,
yeah.
But like an item that gives you satisfaction.
Item,
name it something else.
Yeah, that's a good idea,
Jared. We appreciate your thoughts on all of this. Thank you so much. Have a safe trip, and we'll see you out there, G Bag Nation KNC Masterpiece in like 9 days, bro. Can't wait.
Yeah, can't wait, fellas. See you later.
There he goes, Jared Sandler, right here on your home of the Rangers, 105.3 The Fan. What's up, Bob?
And while you're there in Surprise, Arizona. We will be in the middle of that week. The morning show will be off in Indianapolis. We'll be live from the NFL Scouting Combine.
Yes, coming up next, an opportunity for great, delicious barbecue and football fellowship tomorrow in Dallas. I'll give you the details on that. And Bobby has some issues with the Woolly Bully. Next right here.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
sleeper. Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
On the Fan. WFAA weatherman Pete Delka is tweeting out in the last 30 minutes, warning, 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 the polar vortex looks like it's going to unleash its fury on Texas. Wind chills below zero and a chance of a wintry mix. Now, I was looking ahead at the weekend. I think this is talking about maybe early to mid next week.
Yeah.
Where things might get a little dicey out there. That's unfortunate. I was hoping that maybe we had powered through the February winter disasters, but we might be getting a few more days of that at some point next week. So just something to be on the lookout for. You got to enjoy this weekend, and that's why tomorrow's a great opportunity for you. It's going to be beautiful tomorrow, and myself, Eric Chiafalo, Brian Broaddus, and Zach Wolchuk, we will be at Hurtado Barbecue, their brand new location in Dallas, 900 South Harwood Street. It's their grand opening fan appearance. It's tomorrow from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. We'll be doing a Love of the Star podcast live there from Hurtado, and we'll just be hanging out, talking ball, and eating some barbecue.
Dude, Addison is obsessed with the birria tacos. That's what she loves. I'm going to stop trying to say anything.
Birria.
I'm going to stop trying to do it. But she is obsessed with those. Those are her absolute favorite. Kristen drove.
They're phenomenal.
Kristen drove to Arlington a couple weeks back just to pick them up for her on a Friday night because she was like, you get to pick dinner tonight. She's like, well, I want Hurtado. And so she's like, all right, I guess we're driving to Arlington to go pick those up. So this will be clutch, like, coming in here. I'm gonna have to pick up a bunch of different tacos, like, bring them back in cases, basically, for Addison.
Yeah,
so.
Bobby will be there tomorrow. Who knows who is going to show up and mingle and just be hanging out, ready to have a great time, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Hurtado Barbecue in Dallas tomorrow. We cannot wait to see you there. Okay, now we'll get to Below the Belt with Bobby here in a few minutes, but I guess, Bobby, do you have a bit of a bone to pick with my guy?
Yeah, I've got
my work wife, my lover.
Yeah, you're as you've referred to him before, your sweet baby girl, Zach Wolchuk.
Yeah, the bully.
The woolly bully. We love Zach. I love Zach. You guys, you take claim all the time, and maybe you don't want to take claim for it anymore, the way some on the fan text feel about me, but you guys have routinely taken claim of, like, we were the first ones to put you on the air here. It was us. It was the Nosebleeds. The Nosebleeds were the first one to throw Bobby Belts on 105 through the Fan.
That's right. We're proud of that.
And you guys claim that. Now, so I love Zach.
You're on our broadcasting coaching tree.
Exactly. I feel like when we're in Oxnard, it's usually the three of us end up wanting to do stuff later than most people do. And so the three of us end up going, hey, so like when we're out of town, we're always hanging out with each other. We'll hang out here when we're in town. We've gone and watched playoff games here in town and stuff like that. So I was stunned. I was shocked, absolutely shocked when I got a text yesterday leaving Big Ralph's funeral. I got a text from Alec Medford and it said, bro, about 145, 146, you're going to want to go back. Just random shots being fired by by Zach Wolchuk, going just full Kelvin Joseph, just firing shots recklessly.
Hit and run?
Just coming after me. And so I went back and listened to it, and these were definitely shots, but I think it opens up a bigger question about maybe something you have to get off your chest about me, Eric.
Oh, no.
So let's listen to this audio.
Did you guys get the chance to listen to Chiafalo this morning? And if so, how do you think he did?
Bits and pieces. I think he did well, of course. Wolchuk, you thought that was a bad performance?
I talked to him about it afterwards. He was leaking a lot of confidence. It wasn't really him. It was more Bobby. Bobby's take.
Did he get caught in that vortex of confidence?
I think there were just times where like he didn't want to battle with Bobby, but deep down I knew that he wasn't really in favor of what was going on. So, sure. And it's tough. You know, you've just had 2 days off. Now I'm thrown into a show in the morning time with Bobby Belt. And I love Bobby, but there are times he can be very, very challenging. Like it. So,
I think
he's a bit of an idiot when it comes to
Dawson.
Sports.
You get Dawson will do that. Dawson's really good at doing that too. He's like, you know
yeah,
what?
Yeah, love Bobby,
love
but
this guy,
but
he's one of the worst players I've ever seen in my life.
Good guy.
Good know. Guy, but just a terrible human being.
Super talented. Love him to death, but gosh, those football things need work. Mm.
I cannot imagine what it's like to work with somebody who you don't always agree with, and then just sometimes you let it go because it's not worth it.
Well, is that why you kicked Mike off the show?
Yeah.
That's
a great mic drop moment
That last little editorial comment there. But
I do love Dawson's usually is like, that's my guy.
My guy.
That's his thing.
That's one of his code words.
He'll completely tear somebody down. But he's my guy, though.
Look, that's my guy.
I love that dude.
Yeah. And Brian pointed it out there. But, yeah, I get the man, he's an idiot. Difficult to work with. Schmuckhead, he threw in there.
Schmuckhead, I thought was a little violent.
I got the Yiddish thrown in there. That's what you know. Zach is saying it from the heart. He's coming after me. But he makes the point there. I feel like Zach's pretty in tune with you, Eric. And I feel like
he had a misread on this one. We chatted a little bit because I believe Dawson's out in G-Bag today. So he needs, he was looking for some biggest L, biggest dub content. And I was basically like my performance this morning with the morning show. That's an L. I didn't drive home feeling proud of my particular work yesterday. And I guess he took that as an opportunity to just take you out and blame you.
Turn around now
as the teammate.
I feel like he's targeting me for one reason in particular.
We talked about Matthew Stafford yesterday.
We talked about Matthew Stafford, and I made sure to take a little side swipe, and I said, or the greatest quarterback of all time, if you listen to Zach. Because obviously we had that that fight. We turned a Kenny and Quinlan memorial into a fight about Matthew Stafford.
Just the way Kenny would have wanted
that
it.
That is, you know what?
Open up your damn ears and listen.
You know what? That is the way Kenny would have wanted it. Kenny wanted us drunk off rock and roll tequila, which is what we were, and just fighting about sports. That's exactly how you honor Kenny and Quinlan's memory. But we because of that fight, I made reference to it there, but it did make me think, all right, did Zach pick up on maybe a couple different areas, like when we talked about Dak, where maybe you wanted to dig in, you wanted to fight with me a little bit more, but you're like, you know what, this isn't worth it. I don't feel like doing this
today. No, I feel like I met your energy with it. If you were going to be offended with my thoughts on Dak right now, where I think there's a giant question mark of what the next 4 years are going to look like with him at that. No, you weren't. You were. I think you're starting to understand with the injuries piling up and the awful performances that he showed for us before he got injured once again this season, that this is going to be a little bit of a scary time here as we project out what Dak is going to be for the next 4 years.
Let me tell you about what a D-bag Eric could be when he comes to talking about Dak. We were on the post-game show after the Chicago game. Do you remember this? This is his second game back.
Yes, when Chicago was wearing bright orange jerseys.
He threw the interception, which we later discovered it was CeeDee not going where he was supposed to go on the route.
Anybody but Dak. I don't even know if it was CeeDee, but it definitely wasn't on Dak.
Okay,
huh?
Okay. So he goes,
I blame Kellen Moore
at
and Mike
the time,
McCarthy.
You said, what happened on that interception? I said, I don't know. I'm guessing didn't see him for some reason in the progression, blah, blah. And Eric cuts me off and goes like, yeah, it's really difficult to see a bright orange traffic cone in the middle of the football
That's
field.
What it was. He threw it right to the safety. It broke my heart.
I did take one other bit of information out of this that this audio made me chuckle. Now, we didn't get a chance with Sandler that last segment. I was going to ask him at the end, but we were running out of time. I wanted to ask him just like, hey, this might be a question more for Gavin Dawson, but what should we expect from Jack Leiter? Oh, so I was going to hit him with that to try and trigger him. But in this audio, if you'll play the beginning of it again, Peyton, is Dawson fibbing here? Did he listen to any of this show yesterday?
Did you guys get the chance to listen to Chiafalo this morning? And if so, how do you think he did?
Bits and pieces. I think he did well, of course.
That's a totally made up. He was not listening a second, was he?
No, I don't think so. I don't think for a single second was he tuned in to our P's and C's conversations.
Yeah, you know why, though? It's because I think he does believe we are the most toxic show on the station. He continues to hammer home that point with us pretty routinely.
It's a fair...
I don't think it is.
You don't think it's a fair accusation?
No, because here's the way I look at this. We definitely are a toxic show. But I feel like it's more for sport. I feel like the toxicity that exists on G-Bag at times is a genuine pouring over of emotions that have built up over time. Whereas ours is more just like, it's sport. It's fun. Whereas like... when Broadus is telling you, like, you've never lived this, and then Zach is telling us, you sure like to remember or remind us that you were on a Super Bowl team, Brian, or you like to say my favorite line in history of this, which is when you guys were talking about Sean Payton, and he said, you've never lived this. You said, you're right, I have no idea what it's like to tank an organization with bad drafts for 3 years, which is...
We do get angry when we have some blowups.
It's personal.
There's some serious wreckage involved.
It's personal. There are bodies strewn across the studio here when you guys get done. I love, my favorite was when you guys were arguing that one time during a break, and Lucia saw it, and he was just like, I'm going to pop on the fan cam just so they can get the visual.
That was when I upset Broadus in the biggest way possible.
Wasn't that a Genty fight?
It was a Genty fight that led to me saying, if that's who you want at 12, then we need a new draft show. And I regretted it the moment I said it. But yeah, we went to break, and Broadus let me have it. And it was good. It was therapeutic for him. I just sat there. I took it. I took my licks there, and we moved on.
I will say,
I do think we close the book. We move on very quickly as a show.
I will say, that's what I love about this station, is that we can have our we can have our knockdown, drag it out fights, and then as soon as it's over, it's just like, all right, well, we're past it now. except for Sean, I guess, and then Mike, as it sounded like at the end of that clip with Corey and Hagee going like, yeah, that's why Mike's off the show now. So,
yeah, we
which
understand,
is a joke, guys.
No, it's all good. But yes, I think the G-Bag Nation, we have like a quarterly sort of fight, and it's explosions and all sorts of damage. But you guys here on the
carnage
morning show
is a good word.
Yeah, carnage. You guys probably have weekly fights. I mean, we've played them. They're G-Bag of the Day nominees all the time. They're hilarious.
Yeah, weren't we the first 5-time status this year?
Yes. Yeah, you guys are
the first one.
Absolutely. You versus Sean is just an epic battle, and that's a day in day out grind.
Eric, I was really disappointed that the one that I sent Lucius from the Super Bowl didn't win. I think y'all were tied 2-2 voting the Sean and Bobby after picking the Eagles to win the.
I voted for that one.
You voted for. I think it got to Dawson, and he
was a swing vote on that.
That was genuinely.
That was fantastic.
that got into the commercial. That kept going to the commercial.
That was the last day on Radio Row, wasn't it?
Yeah, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was Friday.
Yeah. You guys went out with a bang.
That went into the commercial break. That one. But again, we hashed it out and we were fine. We got on the airplane after and we were good.
All gravy, baby.
Yeah.
All right, we'll talk with Nick Harris of the Fort Worth Star-Telegram coming up next hour. But coming up next. Below the belt.
Yep, we're going to talk about why Kellen Moore is bad news for Derek Carr. That's next on The Fan.
The great Bobby Belt.
Bobby Belt is an idiot.
Don't make me take off my belt.
Don't make me take off my belt.
We're not.
Over to you, Bobby.
Oh, this Kellen Moore hire. It's bad news for one Derek Carr, or at least it sounds. More on that in just a second. First, we're joined here in the studio by Corey Majors. What's up, Corey?
Yeah. What's going on, fellas? Traffic was light heading south on 75, so I was like, I'm early today.
Do your kids have school today?
Yeah.
My kids don't have school.
That's weird.
And I can't figure out why, because they're off Monday, too, because it's President's Day.
Is it a teacher faculty day or whatever?
We weren't told anything like that. Like, my daughters are now convinced. They're like, well, Valentine's Day is a holiday. I'm like, no.
Kids are lying to them.
It's not.
They all tricked them into a day off.
I love the idea of them pulling a fast one on you.
No, we're like, definitely off
this
today.
This is what
see?
It is. That, well, wife was convinced of it, so they did not go to school today. But when you said it was lighter out there on traffic, let me know on the fan text if you guys have kids that are out of school today. 877-881-1053. 877-881-1053. All right, before we talk about this Kellen Moore thing, this went over so well earlier, Eric. I think we need to play it again. We need the Gail Benson. Have you heard the Gail Benson cut?
Let's hear it.
All right, play the Gail Benson clip of her introducing Kellen Moore yesterday, Peyton.
We wanted a coach that was exceptionally bright, creative, and most importantly, a tremendous leader. I believe that is exactly what we have in Ellen Moore.
Now,
I love her accent. That New Orleans accent.
Yeah,
so
it's like I fell in love with it over the week.
You need to hear her say something like Delacroix or something. Later. Like, it's weird. It is like a little bit of like a Creole Kennedy or something to it.
She's been there long.
Maybe she thought it was a soft K.
If you're Kellen Moore, you're just like, how hard is my name for owners to pronounce?
Ellen Moore.
Like, Jerry called him Keelan the whole time he was here, and then he gets Ellen from there. I don't know what the Philadelphia ownership called him. I don't know if Jeffrey Lurie got his name right. I think he did, but just it's an awful, like, that's not one of those names that you would think is that difficult
Michael
to pronounce.
Michael Parsons.
Will Clay. For the first 6 years that I worked here, Bruce Gilbert, our old program director, mm-hmm. spelled my name wrong in every email. And every email I sent to him had my full name in it.
Would he do M-A-J-O-R-S?
C-O-R-E-Y. So it was the first name, and he would always
Corey
be like, C-O-R.
Mahors.
Yeah, Corey Mahors. I know it's difficult. And I just was like, is this a bit, or is he just messing with me here, or is he just really not paying attention? He never got it right.
He's a rabble rouser. I love that guy. He's playing along with y'all. He came up, he fist bumped Sean and RJ right there on Radio Row in the middle of one of our interviews last week. All right, so let's talk about Kellen Moore and his New Orleans Saints regime. First off, I'm curious from both of you. There was a lot of pushback against Kellen Moore. I don't think anybody was really in favor of Kellen Moore being the hire here, except for me. Like, I was the only one who was, like, on that train and all about it. Brian Schottenheimer's had a decent first month in terms of PR, handling his press conference, the coaching hires he's made. Generally seems like he's gotten good reviews for the most part. Knowing what you know now and knowing how things ended for Philadelphia, would you have still preferred Kellen Moore, even though you were resistant to that? Would you still have preferred Kellen Moore over Brian Schottenheimer? Or are you saying, if those are my two options, I'll take Schottenheimer?
Yeah, even in real time, I was like, I'll take sort of the unknown of Schottenheimer over what I know about Kellen Moore. I don't think Kellen Moore has some awesome offense that he's bringing to town. He certainly doesn't have some type of gravitas, leader of men, run through a brick wall kind of personality. So I don't totally get why he was even in consideration for a lot of these jobs.
I mean,
Schottenheimer, especially now with seeing his vision and then the way he's executing it with the staff that he's hired, to me, I don't know exactly what Kellen Moore's staff is going to look like right now, but I like where Schottenheimer's taking this thing.
But real quick, just on the offensive front, the results were there. Like, when Kellen's been an offensive coordinator, he has put up results.
Yeah, and he's had extreme talent when he's put up results.
Yeah.
Like, look at when he was at his best with the Cowboys, they were a stacked team.
Sure.
This team in Philadelphia, stacked. Chargers, not so well. Like, they were lacking some pieces.
Sure. Now,
still hasn't figured it out.
When Kellen and Dak were together in all the games that they played, because obviously there were times where Dak was out with an injury, but when he was calling plays for Dak, I'll go back to this one consistently. Patrick Mahomes was in the league at that time with Andy Reid and everything else. Dallas's offense was number one in points and number one in yards when Kellen and Dak were together, like, over the course of 4 years. Like they were ahead of Kansas City, they were ahead of the Rams, they were ahead of San Francisco. Like, so, I mean, they did put up the best results of anyone in the NFL, and I don't think anybody would say that offense, that talent, was the best in the NFL.
Yeah, for whatever reason, it just flattened out in playoff games against the best defenses.
Yeah, and that's something that he absolutely had to own, and something I think it looked like he learned from and adjusted with in Philadelphia.
I think so, too, because, you know, as I was listening throughout the week to national people last week, they kept using the same line of Kellen Moore, we know he is allergic to running the football. They kept throwing that out there, but over the season, he has run the ball better and more effectively, and it looked like he did with Jalen Hurts and with Saquon even throughout the playoff run. he was running it to help the team. There was a lot more balance than what we saw. They wanted to score. They wanted to strike big. They still did in Philadelphia, but they also knew the balance of being able to run the ball. I think that's something that he learned that he's going to take to New Orleans, and they're going to benefit from.
Yeah, and the question will be about his quarterback, and that was one of the first questions he was asked yesterday. Hey, Derek Carr, you guys committed to him? What's the plan at quarterback moving forward? Tell me this doesn't sound exactly like a guy who worked under Jason Garrett. I'm going to read this quote. Derek's a tremendous quarterback in this league. I've had so much respect for him, the journey that he's been on. He's a starter in this league. He's a premier player in this league. Really excited to team up with him and go through this process. And so just like any player on this roster, I just got here a few days ago, and I'm excited to go through this journey with all of them. That is the most Jason Garrett answer. If you want to just talk about winning press conferences, Brian Schottenheimer beating Kellen Moore at this point.
I can't wait to have a couple lemonades with him after practice.
Oh, yeah.
See how things go. Maybe we'll go to Cafe Dumont and get a beignet. that was Jason Garrett as it gets. That being said, I've never had any faith in Derek Carr, like ever.
Maybe around 2016, I thought he was a believer, but that
right around the time quickly. He broke his femur.
That
looked like a team that was going to be very good.
Yeah.
And then they fell apart.
And he looked like, all right, this is going to be part of the next wave of big time quarterback play. Kellen Moore, by the way, the youngest head coach in the league now taking over, but they're in a tough situation. Like, if you want to talk about Dallas and the situation that they're in, where people are like, well, they're financially strapped, they got this, that, they're a financially strapped team with a great core though. Like they've still got big time core players who are like, you know, you like Tyler Smith, you like Micah Parsons, you like CeeDee Lamb. Even if you don't like Dak Prescott, fans out there, you can say those are top premier players at their position. Deron Bland's here. When you look at New Orleans, that is a financially cash-strapped team that has a lot of bad players on their team. Like, and so if you're going to tell me...
Are they like negative 60? Where are they
at? They're like last in the league in cap space. So when you look at the way that New Orleans and Dallas went through their hiring process, Dallas had said to themselves, clearly their biggest line item was culture. We need a leader. We need somebody who's going to instill discipline. We need not necessarily a drill sergeant, but we need somebody who is, you know, we want Tony Robbins or something out there. We want somebody who's just going to get you go. John Maxwell. We need the leadership guy. That's who we need running this football team. And that's probably going to be more Brian Schottenheimer than it is Kellen Moore. On the other side of it, when you're looking at New Orleans and you go, we're financially strapped, we have a pretty weak core overall, it doesn't look like there's a whole lot of hope for us to be contenders anytime soon, you're probably more concerned with who's going to give me an X's and O's advantage?
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to give me a design advantage?
Who's creativity.
Yeah, who's going to help me take advantage? Whereas Brian Schottenheimer's probably not going to be that guy compared to Kellen Moore. I know, Eric, you were just saying you don't think Kellen's a massive advantage, but just track record-wise, if you're looking at the two of them, Kellen Moore has put up, obviously, more prolific offenses. So if you're a team like New Orleans, you would say, yeah, we would like a Kellen Moore type more than a leadership guy. Like, we want the guy who's going to X's and O's his way to hopefully scheming us up some advantages that we don't naturally have as a football team. So,
like, they're the little giants in the movie Little Giants.
What's the play they ran there? The annexation.
You got to come up with stuff like that.
That's what that one was. Okay, real quick, we'll close up here before we wrap up this segment here. Below the Belt on 105 Through the Fan. We talked about how much money Nevada sports books won. They won an S ton, $21 million was their profit this cycle on the Super Bowl.
Oh, just for the Super Bowl.
Yep. Pennsylvania sportsbooks did not have that fortune because, of course, you got a lot of Eagles fans there who are going to say, screw what people say is inevitable.
Yeah.
We believe the Philadelphia Eagles are going to win big time. And Philadelphia is not the same sports betting market that Vegas is.
Right.
And yet, Pennsylvania lost $6.5 million on just the Super Bowl because of Eagles fans.
That's fantastic.
So if you're a little upset about you hate Philly as Walchuk will consistently call them, even on the postgame show, the Philadelphia Eagles. If you hate that city, you don't want anything good for Philly, just know that their economy took a pretty big hit, or their sports books did, by losing $6.5 million.
That's good for Eagles fans too. Most of them not having jobs, they need that money in their pocket.
And that's why the fries have to go on the sandwich. They can't afford the plate. Permantes, that's what they got to do.
Oh, Corey Majors in the building.
He hated that sandwich, by the way. Zach had it. He thought it was super overrated.
The sandwich. Yeah, he wasn't speaking very highly of it.
He's a sandwich snob, though. Everybody knows that.
Is Zach a sandwich snob?
Oh, yeah, he always has been.
Yeah, that's tried and true. Everybody knows that about him. Do you like the idea of a Spores Head cold cut sandwich?
I did like that. I'll tell you what, though.
Although when I hear spores, I think mold spores too.
That Dumont Valentine.
that threw Jared off.
The Seeger one made my wife laugh. The Dumont one made her blush.
Yeah. Right?
So. Sorry, Adrian.
We're gonna have Hagee read those in crosstalk.
Great.
I'm looking forward to that. All right, let's barrel into the Power Hour here, the final hour of the week. Sean and RJ back next week. Micah Parsons putting the pressure on the Cowboys to spend big. Nick Harris of the Star Telegram has the scoop next right here on The Fan.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, football,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.